All right, so this is bonus section for chapter two in One Layer Deep. The $300 million button. Ooh. I loved this. Like, so we have to do some storytelling in here. And I thought, like, man, this is a great story. And you might think, what does the $300 million button have to do with One Layer Deep? Well, it's because they added layers, mm-hmm. perceived layers to their business.
Yeah.
A great example is literally this morning we were walking on our morning date. Mm-hmm. And I was looking to buy a domain. And I went to GoDaddy. And it wasn't available. And I said, I wonder if it's available on domains.com.
Yeah.
So I went to domains.com and someone bought domains.com. And I was like, oh, okay. But now, instead of a simple redirect, they make me go to their, like, the new owner's website and click like two buttons. And I'm like, I'm done. I fell off. I'm like, I'm done. It's too many layers. It wasn't one layer deep.
Yeah. So they could have done a redirect and then had an announcement or a banner or something that says, now wrapped into the network solutions. Whatever. And by the way, the button, and this is for all the marketers out there, is the button was below the fold, meaning that the one layer deep, the one action before the result, even if it was two actions before the result, I still had to scroll. So that gave three actions before the result. So they just... they just cut their actions or like the intention by a third.
Yeah. And so I think this is a really great topic. I learned this in software, like buttons, colors, words on the button, placement of the button before the fold. But what I did not learn this was in my home service company. They don't, marketers don't teach this in home service, or they're not. I don't know. I feel like we don't learn this in home service, especially in the cleaning industries. Like, is your estimate button before the fold? Is it one layer deep to get to your estimate? Is it one layer deep for your employees to get to what they're looking for? Because even the perception of it being difficult is paralyzing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I want to just talk about the one layer deep. There's the methodology of one layer deep. And it's very basic at its core. And everyone thinks that I have these like secret things that I'm holding and I don't give them to anybody. And it's really not. And I used to think that I was super organized for years. And I'm not. I'm actually not super organized. Then a couple years ago, I got to the realization that I'm actually really lazy. Is what I thought I was. And I was like, I'm just really lazy. I just don't like to do a lot of work. I just like need it simple. Just give it to me. And then I was like, actually, someone said, no, Libby, you're not lazy. You just need the straight answer, like the solution. And you're like, oh, I'm right. You're right. Like,
I think I called you an efficient slacker.
So that's what we came up with. I'm an efficient slacker. That's also what my 17-year-old son is, Austin. He's an efficient slacker. We love him. He's super tidy, organized mm-hmm. for a 17-year-old. Very efficient, but just needs it simple.
No, but he runs it one layer deep, though.
He runs his life one layer deep.
I will ask him to do something, or if whatever reason, like we need help for a party or whatever, and I ask him to do something, he'll call me out and be like, why are we doing it this way?
Yeah.
Like, can't we just do this?
Instead?
Actually, you're right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he got a job at McDonald's and he loves it. He loves it. For all my employers, he's 17 years old, on time every day, has his own car. Guess what? And if he ran out of gas or didn't have a car, his parents have a car, he would make it to work. Yeah. So don't disregard your young employee, your young applicants out there that have support.
Yeah.
But one layer deep, the methodology is align, right? Determine the intention. Like that you're looking for, whether it's your customer, your employee, or you. And then delete. Remove all the unnecessary layers. Delete, delete, delete. I throw stuff away. Organize it forwarded me an email the other day. And we had a meeting and they're like, oh, it's in that email I sent you. I'm like, I don't know. I deleted it. I need my inbox to look good. I deleted it. I'm still alive, guys. It's okay if you delete them.
It's a good test.
And then, so it was align, right? Determine the intention. delete, remove all unnecessary layers, and execute. Just, you know, get to the end of what you're finding, like, do it, execute, get to that final step, do that hard thing. And so it's very simple, but everything I approach in life, whether it's micro plays or frameworks, you know, procedures or SOPs or micro plays is how you do something. A framework is how I think about that, how I think about something. They're different.
Yeah.
But both things we approach from a one layer deep perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And have been using it for a long time. So do you want to read the internal versus the external application?
Yeah.
Because these are very powerful for you, your marriage, your family, your business, your employee.
Yeah. So when we're talking about the business practice, you talk about align, delete, and execute, because there's actually a function in that that's more of a, what we call the one layer deep method.
Mm-hmm.
It's the practical application of it, or the tactical application of it. And then we have the more personal side of it is when you're talking about people or yourself, you're talking about alignment, intention, and execution. This is more of a discovery process. And so usually this actually has to happen first before you actually go through the tactical one layer deep approach.
The external.
And so here we have, again, just to reiterate from the book, is the external applications for customers, teams, and family. External, what you're doing is you're saying, what does this
blank
really need right now?
Like, what does Yaya really need right now?
Versus the internal, which is self-reflection, is all about, what do I really want right now? Those are two completely separate things. And I'm going to give an example is, you know, it's not, external is based on what something else needs outside of you. And so it goes to hold that you need to understand what does it really need right now? Without injecting your own ego, without injecting your own
bias
or influence. And I'm going to say this is that, I had a great perspective, from my sister who was trying to go through like a discovery, and we had this actually great, lunch, down, my sister in Florida, who, her daughter, my niece, was going through trying to go to college and figure out where to go. So we talked through this and trying to figure out what was the best place, because she had a place in Miami versus I think over Kansas. In Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a matter of going through that discovery of, you know, what does she really need? And then we went through this one layer deep process, and it was, she needs to, you know, be safe and secure and,
financially,
have a fallback.
I think financially independent she wants.
Yeah. But we ended up clarifying and saying, okay, let's scrap this. Is that actually what Nasha needs? And then if she were to think about it, like, what does she actually want for Nasha? She actually wanted financial independence. She actually wanted to be able to make a stamp for her own.
And be on her own.
And so it was really hard to see at first without actually asking those questions and clarifying.
Yeah. But one thing we did was ask those questions to your sister about, mm-hmm, what do you really want? Well, she wanted her to stay here, like, yeah, here close to her.
Because as a parent, I 100% understand, is there's an element of comfort or security knowing that your child is safe, taken care of, out of harm's way. But sometimes you got to cut the BS and do the hard thing, which is things that don't align with either what you want, your bias, or your ego, whatever the situation. And so that's why we really lean into two different angles.
Two different applications
of how you apply one layer deep. It's either internal for you, what do I want, or external for something else or somebody else, which is what do they need?
Yeah, or the business. So I can run it through with myself, and I run it through all the time. Like, what do I really want right now? Well, I want, you know, just say, and I don't, but let's just say I want a pair of Louis Vuitton shoes. Yeah, but do I really need those, or do I want them? Like, come on, Libby, cut the BS. I don't go anywhere. Like, where would I wear them? But I really want them. And so you can run through that. And that's just with a pair of shoes, but you can say, well, what does a business really need right now? Well, the business really needs focus on sales. But I don't want to do sales. I hate sales. But it's what the business really needs right now. I need to cut the BS, cut the fluff, and I need to do the hard things, and I need to dive back into the sales department. So those are like two different ways to think about it. And, you know, I ask this question to myself all the time, guys. And right now I'm involved in ops and WooRecruit. Do I want to be involved in ops? No, I don't. But it's what the business really needs right now. I cut the BS. I put my ego aside and I did the hard thing. And I'm involved with ops when it comes to WooRecruit. And so there are certain times in our company where they need this from us. Who cares how we feel, right? Don't think from emotion, follow the plan. And you got to do that hard thing, because I don't know how many times I've talked to business owners and they have this dream of being an absentee business owner. I don't want to be involved in my business. Or, I just want to work 2 hours a week. And I would really love to challenge that topic and say, then why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Like, then why? Because that doesn't exist. It doesn't. And I don't know who sold us that dream. Maybe it was the 4-hour work week. Maybe. But no matter what, where I'm at, I have to ask myself this question, because there are the companies need different parts of me at different times. And I got to stop, like, I don't know. I think we were sold some dream that, oh, passive income. Well, I would like to challenge that passive income, because the company still needs us to dive in at different times.
And so also, I think one of the other stigmas is a sign of success is passive income. A sign of success is you not doing the thing. Like just saying that you don't have to.
I want to challenge that. Not to you, but the statement, the thing. What's the thing? There are 100 million things to do in business.
Yeah.
What's the thing?
Yeah. Exactly. And so I think it's just a matter of, and I'm not trying to devalue anybody, but the idea of status or status quo, it's, are you doing things for somebody else? Like, is the idea of not working because somebody seated in your mind that I shouldn't be working, and that's a sign of success?
Well, I think it's a great topic, because like, look, we could look at Dan Martell. Right? He might not look like he works. Oh, he works his ass off.
Oh my goodness.
I know him. Like, he works more than any person I know.
Yeah.
He works probably 24/7, like Gary Vee. They work their butts off. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, like, where this dream came from, or do we only want to work 2 hours in that business because we want to do something else? That I understand.
Yeah.
But you have to pay your dues in the business.
Yeah.
Right. You have to pay your dues. You have to put in the work. You have to build those departments, because they don't build themselves. And it's very, very, and I've had like $180,000, $200,000 COOs. They couldn't even build my processes.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to hire someone to build those processes, you could. They're a unicorn. They're out there. But do you have the money to pay for them? It's a great question. Do you want to pay for them? And the whole, like, I want to make a business and exit it. You got to pay your dues. You got to build it. You got to work on it. And once you've put in the work, you've built it, you have that what you've gone through, what the business really needs, you've cut the BS, you've done those hard things, they grow. And then you can step out.
And I also want to...
But you have to be willing to step back in when it breaks, and it will break.
Yeah. And so that's a great point, is I also want to challenge as well is, you know, when you talk about, you know, needs versus wants, for yourself or externally, is which one do you apply first? You actually have to run through, and this is the great thing about it, is one layer deep, understanding what should I really focus on right now? Is it me or is it the business? Like, which one is the biggest thing? What's the fire? What's in my life right now? Like, and I just want to say this for people who have changes or traumas in their life or issues with family.
Yep.
There's a certain level of priority that has to happen. And we say you need to do what's right for your business, but also you need to do what's right for yourself. And so understanding and running through one layer deep for yourself personally, to first understand, what should I really focus on right now? Is it me? Is it the business? Is it my kids? Which one ranks higher right now? Mm-hmm. Cut the BS and take care of it.
So I think that's a great topic, because you can be an absentee owner for a short time if there is a if there's a circumstantial, like, how do you say the word?
Yeah, circumstantial. A circumstance.
A circumstance. Let's just say one of my family members, one of my parents isn't doing well, right? Here's the difference in being an absentee owner for a short time due to that versus I just want to be an absentee owner. Your team will get behind you when that happens. They will support you. When I just want to be an absentee owner for the sake of being absentee owner, your team doesn't necessarily understand that. They didn't see that work or that put in, or they don't have that buy-in, or that they're not behind that mission, right? Because it's just like, I don't understand why she doesn't want to work here and she's offloading everything on me.
Yeah.
And so there's a misalignment there. And I think it can be found, but it requires a level of communication of like, hey, I want to be an absentee owner because I want to go build this nonprofit and feed the hungry.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, that's amazing. Or if I just want to be an absentee owner because I don't want to do anything, your employees have a really hard time getting on that ride and they don't understand it. And then they feel disgruntled. They feel like something is misaligned.
Yeah. And as I was working on myself, I think about a year or so ago, is the idea of practicing full transparency was a brand new concept to me. But after I went through some self-sabotage, and we'll go into that in later chapters,
mm-hmm.
but it completely changed the way that I understand everything. And the reason why certain relationships or certain things inside of the business are running so well is because it's doing two things. It's one is leveraging other people's skill sets or willingness to learn a new skill set. And secondly is the practice of full transparency is saying, hey, I have ambitions and want to do this and I don't want to do this anymore. Can you help me out? I think those two things combined.
It's great. It goes into the personal application of this chapter, which is stop maximizing your weaknesses. I love this topic. I wish I would have seen it sooner. I'm skimming through my notes. Why do I love this topic? Guys, I suck at a lot of stuff. I've come to that fruition. How do you say that? Realization. See, I suck at a lot of stuff. And I'm not trying to work on it. I'm not trying to get better at the things that I'm not great at. I acknowledge I am not good at this. Can you please help me? I don't know how to do this. Can you help me out? I hire people who are not like me. I am like, we need to stop hiring people like us who we get along with, like who are, we need to stop looking for mini versions of us.
Yeah.
We need to stop maximizing our weaknesses and start minimizing them. And whatever you're great at, like that thing you're amazing at, you just keep doing it. Like tunnel vision, you just keep pushing, you just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And stop trying to like work on our weaknesses.
Yeah. And so I did reframe that to give a little bit more clarity to people as well, to make it, to make it tactical or actionable. When you say stop maximizing your weaknesses, I wanted to find a way to give somebody something that they can actually take and run with and execute. Because the idea of One Layer Deep is that you're able to execute. And this is all about tactics. It's all about like putting it into your life. And maximizing is something that's kind of like removing or creating a deficit. But you need to figure out how to fill that. How to actually put something that's more powerful in there. And so I say obsess over your weakness, but don't fix it. And what I mean by that is you got to understand and obsess over the idea that you have a weakness, so that you understand and can see it fully without ego, putting ego aside and understanding, okay, this is where I suck. I genuinely am not good at this task. And if I keep running in this, I will fail. But what I can do is put bumpers around those weaknesses. Like for me, I'm horrible with accountability and timekeeping. And so what I do is I actually obsess over alarms and scheduling appointments. It is now my Bible. It is now what I live by. And I tell people, and I say this, and this is what I mean by obsessing over your weaknesses, is that I won't try to put it on myself to say, I'm going to remember this time. If I have a phone call with a lead, with a client, with whoever, I'm going to tell them at the end of each call, I wrap it up and I say, tell you what, I'm not going to remember anything we just said because it's not recorded. Can you do me a favor and shoot me an email with a recap? I genuinely say that after every call. Because I understand my weakness and I'm not trying to fix it, but I'm trying to create bumpers around it. So that's a non-issue.
Yeah. Bumpers are amazing. absolutely amazing. I think we talk about bumpers later in the book. But that's the one thing. And if you see, a lot of people say, Libby, I've seen your transformation over the last 3 or 4 years. And guys, I have to say, one, I run one layer deep. I run simple to the core. My house, my closet, my business, my kitchen. Like, there ain't nothing in there. Like, but also, I started literally just my weakness. I started being really transparent about it and saying, hey, I am not good at this. Can you help me? Can you hire somebody that can help me with this? Can I, like the book, the launch, everything, podcast. I have people who did all of it. And I started leaning into that and saying, I am not good at these things, but if I want to go fast and I want to reach the impact that I can, which I want to impact 100,000 cleaning business owners is my goal and transform 20,000, you got to be a specialist before you can be a generalist, right? Dan Martell's words. So I want to specialize, right, in cleaning and then change the world after that. I can't sit over here and like do something that isn't contributing to that. And so I had to really learn. And so that's where you see like this exponential growth in the last few years is I'm only doing the things, I'm only focused on that superpower. I'm only leaning into that superpower and everything else I'm not even doing or doesn't need to get done.
Yeah. And that's really going into chapter 10. We're skipping ahead here, but it's so ingrained into the idea of like all parts are one layer deep. It's pure execution. It's knowing how you run best.
Yeah. And Chris has never seen anyone that can move as fast as me. One time he said, because he took over marketing for a short time. He's like, we just want you to run as fast as you want. And I was like, okay, well.
And this is the unlock that a lot of owners do not get from their team. And this is something that you need to really learn it, lean into is to be able to get somebody on your team to allow you to run. And this is also an ego for you to strip away as well in terms of like not having to look back and carry somebody.
Yeah,
or carry a team member.
Well, because I'd be honest, I go slower because I don't want to disrupt the team.
And so what you need to understand fundamentally is that you need to, as the visionary, as the owner, is that you need to run as fast as humanly possible with the understanding that the right people will continue to keep up. But this is a really hard pill to swallow because I think you also went through the same thing with personal and saying like, am I able to keep up?
Mm-hmm.
But we go through this a lot with our date mornings and the discussions that we have is that I'm going to keep up, but I'm going to keep up in a different way. The way that I'm going to be able to support you is not one for one with what you know, the same thing with the kids is they're going to be able to support in a different way, which is, you know, being able to be financially independent, to be able to help with dishes and other things like that.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. You know, when you guys told me to run as fast as I want to run, I was like, man, I don't know. And Chris said, just trust me. We'll make sure we keep up. And you see that difference. I think sometimes for all of my owners out there, you're not achieving what you feel that you can achieve. Or maybe you're feeling frustrated with yourself because you see other people doing things or you're not hitting those revenues. What's holding you back? You're not running as fast as you could run. You're not achieving full potential, which is something to think about. Like, why am I not achieving full potential? What is holding me back right now?
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.